Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are A Church Beyond Walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another Bible Study Class. At this time, I will play a selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God. Oh, our speaker is here. Amen. And talk to the Bible. Here we go. Okay, Lady Nadine is in your hands. Whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay. Let's pray.
Amen. Ooh.
Dear God, we love you, Father. We praise your holy name, Lord God, because there's none other before you. Lord God, we thank you for being always right by our sides, Lord God. And Lord God, we want to invite you, Lord God, into this second lesson, Lord God, where we are talking through the Bible and surveying your word, Lord God, getting an idea of each book of the Bible, Lord God. We thank you. Lord God, I just ask you, Lord God, allow the Holy Spirit that is within me, Lord God, to do the teaching, Lord God, to say what you want me to say, Lord God, and do what you would like me to do, Lord God. I also pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord God, is evoked in each person, Lord God, who is here today, Lord God. Open up their hearts and minds, Lord God, that they will come to understand and have the wisdom, Lord God, that you require us to have that only you can give us, Lord God. So we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. Help us to apply not only to study and to learn, but, Lord God, the most important thing, Lord God, is that we apply, your word to our daily lives and how we interact with each other, Lord God, and how we interact with your people, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. We do not take it for granted, Lord God. We thank you for fixing Block Talk Radio, Lord God, that we can come on and share your word and share your Bible with those who are here, Lord God. So we want to thank you. We want to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Okay. So we are still in the book of Colossians, and we were just up to the keys to Colossians, which is key verses and key chapters. So the key word for Colossians is the preeminence of Christ, and there's a few key verses in Colossians that I would like you to read, Hilda. The first key verse is comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. If you could get that. And did Deaconess Valerie get on?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Could you please get Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and after Hilda reads 9 and 10.
Okay. Colossians 2, 9 through 10 says, "For in Christ," Chico, be quiet. "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Amen.
Right. And what do we say rulers and authorities were?
Oh, rulers and authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God.
Rulers and authorities are angels.
Right.
You can have the bad rulers and authorities, or you can have the good rulers and authorities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's saying that Christ is ahead of all rulers and authorities. So that includes the demon rulers and authorities. But rulers and authorities are angels. And they all have a specific role in God's kingdom. It's also called principalities and powers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it probably says in the King James Version. It says principalities and powers. And that's the order. It's the order of the heavenly body, right? So the principalities and the powers, and there are good principalities and powers, and there are bad principalities and powers. And the bad principalities and powers are those who serve Satan, right?
Yes.
Satan has his group of angels, right?
Yes, he does.
So the ones who serve Satan are the bad ones, and the ones who serve God are the good ones.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have three chapters? Yes. Verses 1 and 2.
One and two from Colossians chapter
three.
Two, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter what?
Chapter three.
Verses 1 and 2.
If you then be risen with Christ, speak those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on those things above, not on things on the earth.
Mm-hmm. Right. We need to set our hearts and minds on the things that are above. Set our hearts and mind on Christ and not on these worldly things on earth. So our key chapter in Colossians is chapter 3. And it says that chapter 3 links the three themes of Colossians together, showing their cause and effect relationship, their cause and effect relationship, because the believer is risen in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He is put off. He is put off the old man and put on the new, which will result in holiness in all relations. So we're going to go through, we're going to read the whole, we're going to read the chapter. So
chapter
we already
three.
Read chapter 3. If you, Hilda, let me pull it up. Colossians.
It has 25 verses.
Yeah, I'm going to break them down how they broke them down in here.
Okay.
So Colossians chapter 3. I'll read verses 1 through 4, because we read 1 and 2, so I'll continue to read 1 through 4.
Okay.
If you can take 5 through 17, Hilda,
okay.
That is putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And then, Val, if you could do 18 through 25, which will result in
what chapter is that?
We in chapter 3. We read
in Colossians?
The entire chapter 3.
Yes,
yeah,
Colossians.
Uh-huh.
So you said
so 18
to 25.
Off. Yeah, okay. You got 18 to 25. Hilda has 3 to 5 to 17, and I'm going to read 1 through 4.
Okay.
So, living the new life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life is revealed to the whole world, you share in all his glory.
Amen. And verses 5 through 18 says,
5 to 17.
So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater. Idolater. Worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loved, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.
Oh, my God, that's so beautiful.
Isn't it? Oh,
it brings so beautiful.
Your heart, man.
Ooh.
That is
wow.
Wow.
Okay. The Christian family, 18. Mm-hmm. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as in men pleasures, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons.
Amen. 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 Wow. This is a powerful chapter.
Yes, it is.
The instructions are so clear as to what we need to do, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like this entire chapter, chapter 3, is something that, you know, we should read often, right?
And follow. Often. Yep. And obey
so
it.
Not to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And obey it is not to forget, because I think that the thing that is the hardest, and I brought a book, I never read it though, but in, you know, forgive those who offend you. And,
yeah.
And that's like the hardest thing, because offenses, you know, you want to get back at somebody who offends you, right? Because they hurt you.
Yes.
And the first thing you want to do is get back at them.
Yes.
You know, and the word clearly says that that's something that we should not do.
Do. That's
we should
right.
not do. It says, so that's 13, make allowance for each other's faults.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has faults, and nobody
yes.
is perfect.
That's
so
right.
make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends
mm-hmm.
you.
Amen.
That is not an easy task to do, but that is
nope,
in God's word.
Yep.
Because look how many times, it says, remember the Lord forgave you. And you could imagine how many times we offend the Lord, how many times we offend God.
Exactly.
You know? And
mm-hmm.
he still forgives us. So
right.
I thought that chapter is pretty powerful.
It
okay.
is.
Okay. So.
It really is.
Anything else? Anybody want to say anything else about that chapter?
No, it's to me, it's very clear what we have to do as Christians. You know, the husbands have to love their wives and wives love their husband. Even your slaves, whoever you have in your house working for you, has to be obedient.
Well, when they make reference to slaves or servants, that's workers. Those are employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like when you, you know, it's basically saying for those who work,
uh-huh.
you know, you need to do what it is that you're supposed to work. Do your very best at what
yes.
you do
mm-hmm.
as a worker, right?
Right.
Also, it says as slaves, like slaves, respect your or honor your masters, like being like employees. Respect your bosses, but whatever
right.
you do,
right.
do it unto the Lord. Not
right.
to please man, but
right.
do it wholeheartedly unto
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
Amen. 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 Whether the boss is around, in other words, whether your boss is around or not around, remember you're doing this to please the Lord.
Amen.
Right? That's the only person that we need to please. Right? And through us doing, you know, what's right, the world will see.
Could be very misleading. Even a boss could be very
mm-hmm.
misleading, because he tells us to do something wrong. We don't have to do something wrong. We can, you know, choose to do it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We
that's
could
right.
choose
so,
to go disobedient. Or we could choose
right.
to speak out against the wrong. But we could
that's
choose
right.
to separate ourselves from the world. But we don't have to be misled.
No.
That's right. That's right. Because when my boss asked me to sign a doctor's name to an order, because the doctor hadn't signed the order, and we had the state coming in, and we had this order that did not have a doctor's signature on it, and when he asked me to sign it, I said, no, I will not. I'm not
exactly.
signing it. He was like, oh, well, the state is here, and, you know, we're going to get cited. I said, so
then you get cited.
But I'm not signing it.
Exactly.
You know what he did? He signed it himself.
Okay.
That's what don't... I said. That's on your head. But
exactly.
I'm not signing it.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't have signed
about we
it
can
either.
All lose. We can all lose our jobs. I said, well, so be it. But Nadine Thomas is not signing that.
Okay.
And little things mean a lot sometimes. God knows who he could trust.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he wanted to see your honesty because he got something else what he wants to trust you with.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't trust us with the little things. You know, the those that have, they have less. And those that have more have greater, have more abundance.
Yes. That's perfect.
I could trust you with the little things. I could trust you with greater things.
Exactly.
Yes. That's perfect, Val. Amen to that. Amen
we
to
think
that.
People won't see we could fool man, but God sees us. We're in the soul saving business. We're not, you know, people pleasers. We're trying to be pleasing to God. He sees all our sins and unrighteousness. He sees it. And he knows who he could trust.
Mm-hmm. He absolutely does. Praise God.
Amen.
So Christ in Colossians, we see Christ in Colossians. This singularly Christological book is centered on Christ, the head of all principalities and powers.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, and you are filled in him who is head over every ruler and authority, principalities and powers. Every ruler and authority, the Lord of creation.
Amen.
He's the Lord of creation. And we know, and we had read chapter 1:4, and the author of reconciliation. Praise God.
Amen.
He is the author of reconciliation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. If you can just get, just read that again, Hilda, chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. The author of reconciliation.
Okay. Chapter 1:20-22.
Oh, hallelujah.
And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions.
Mm.
Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
yes,
God.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes. He is the basis for the believer's hope. Like, he's our basis for hope. There's no hope without him.
That's right.
And it says in 1:5, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, which you have heard about beforehand in the word of truth, the gospel. That's our hope. The source of believers. He's the source of our power in this new life, right?
Yes.
The believer's redeemer and reconciler. The embodiment of full deity. He is the embodiment of full deity. 1:16 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation? He is the image of the invisible God, right?
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
And the creator and sustainer of all things. He is all the creator
things.
And sustainer
something,
of all things.
Things.
All
yes.
things. The head of the church. He's the head of the church, not us. Not us.
Nope.
Christ is the head of the church.
Christ is the head of the church.
Right. And the resurrected God man. What makes him God man? Why do they say Jesus is God man?
Because he's both God and man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. 100% God and 100% man.
Yep.
He walked on the earth.
Yes, he did.
And an all-sufficient Savior.
Thank you,
Everything
God.
Is in him.
Yes.
He is sufficient. So the contribution to the Bible, Colossians, is characterized by its high Christology, which is spelled, it's about Christ. Christology, an exalted creator and redeemer. He is central to all beliefs and behavior. Paul uses rich language, even redefines the terms used by the heretical movement by filling them with orthodox meanings, which these are some Greek words that he talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the style is not as piercing or rigorous as that of Galatians or Romans, the intense concepts betray an underlying controversy.
Mm-hmm.
There are no Old Testament references in this epistle. So in this epistle, he doesn't refer to anything in the Old Testament. So the twin epistles, which they call Ephesians and Colossians, can be compared and contrast. There's some comparison and contrast that I'll go through. Okay, Ephesians was written in prison, but carried by Tychicus. Colossians was written in prison and carried by Tychicus.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians stresses wisdom, knowledge, fullness, and mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But Colossians stresses wisdom, knowledge, fullness, and mystery. So those are similar.
Yes.
There are similar passages in both. Like in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 is similar to, let me just see this, chapter 1, verse 17 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Mm.
Now, in Colossians 1 and 4, since we heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. So they just say that there's a few passages that are similar in both Colossians and Ephesians.
Uh-huh.
Ephesians emphasizes the church as the body of Christ. Colossians emphasizes Christ as the head of the body.
Amen.
Ephesians is general and universal. Colossians is specific and local. Uh-huh. Ephesians has a first half position, second half is practice. So the first half of Ephesians is the position, and the second half is practice.
Okay.
Same thing with Colossians. The first half is position, and the second half is what you need to do, the practice.
Right.
Ephesians is ironic and calm, and Colossians is polemic and concerned. Ephesians is reflective and quiet, and Colossians is spiritual conflict. I don't really know why they compare the two, but I think they sound reason to compare them. So, just the last part is, and we have about 15 minutes, I'll go through it, because we read exactly all the scriptures with this. But it's a survey of Colossians. Colossians is perhaps the most Christ-centered book in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In it, Paul stresses the preeminence of the person of Christ and the completeness of salvation he provides in order to combat the growing heresy that is threatening the church in Colossae. These heresies seek to devalue Christ by elevating speculation, ritualism, mysticism, and asceticism. But Christ, the Lord of creation and head of the body, is completely sufficient for every spiritual practice needed of the believer. The last half of the epistle explores the application of these principles to daily life, because the doctrinal truth. So sections of chapters 1 and 2 basically must bear fruit in practical conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Must bear fruit in practical conduct is chapters 3 and 4. The two major topics are supremacy of Christ and submission to Christ. So first, in the first half of the book, we learn about the supremacy of Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the second half of the book, there's only 4 chapters. In the second half of the book, we learn about the submission to Christ, that we must submit to Christ. So the supremacy of Christ is Paul's greeting. He greets us in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's followed by an usually extended thanksgiving. So he also thanks the Colossians. He gives a prayer. He prays for them. Those are verses 9 through 14. And on behalf of the believers of Colossae. So he prays for them. So he greets them, he thanks them, and he prays for them. Mm-hmm. Paul expresses his concern that the Colossians come to a deeper understanding of the person and power of Christ. Even here, Paul begins to develop his major theme of the preeminence of Christ. Mm-hmm. What does preeminence mean? Does anybody know?
Preeminence. I forgot.
I'm just going to look it up.
Okay,
thank you.
I
thought we had that before.
We have had that word before, because I forgot the word preeminence. It's superiority. Preeminence means superiority. The fact of surpassing all others. So that's what Christ is. He's preeminent. He's superior. He surpasses all others. So now we know preeminence means superior, right?
Yes.
So it says here, even here Paul begins to develop his major theme of the preeminence of Christ, the superiority of Christ. But the most potent statement of this theme is in chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, which we should, because you just get chapter 1, 15 through 23, so we can see about the preeminence of Christ.
What chapters? You said chapter 1?
Yeah, chapter 1, which it says is the most potent statement of this theme, is in chapter 1, verses 15 through 23.
Okay, 15 through 20. Christ is supreme. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He exists before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. 22, right?
Hey. Yeah, that was it. That was good. That was beautiful. Beautiful. So he is supreme both in creation, which you just read about, and in redemption. And this majestic passage builds a positive case for Christ as the most effective, refutable. Refutation of the heresies that will be exposed in chapter 2. So Paul describes his own ministry of proclaiming the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, to the Gentiles, and assures his readers that although he has not personally met them, he strongly desires that they become deeply rooted in Christ alone, who is the preeminent in the church. So we're gonna stop right there.
Okay.
Because when we start back, we're gonna read chapter 2. Because I realize we didn't read all of these others, so we'll get through chapter 2. But we're gonna stop there.
Okay. Wow, that was awesome. I really enjoyed that one. That lesson. Wow. God is supreme and over everything in authority. Superior.
Right. And what are principles and authorities and rulers and powers?
What are principles, authorities,
rulers, and powers? What are they?
Principalities.
What are they?
Oh, what are they? Rulers.
We talked about that in the beginning. You remember what they are, Val?
Principalities and
rulers, powers, principalities. You just read about them where it says that Jesus is over all rulers, powers, and principalities. What are they?
I forgot.
That quick?
Yes. Yes. Just because my mind goes on to something else, if I forget what I know that it's principalities. He's a ruler over all principalities.
That's the devil and his demons. Sound like the devil and his demons. Evil principalities.
Some of them are, but one thing that they all are angels. Remember,
angels.
In heaven, there's an order. There's an order of angels. I forgot which ones go first, but there's powers, there's authorities, there's principalities, and each order of angels, right, have a specific responsibility, just like the seraphim and the cherubim. Those are all angels, okay? And they all have a specific responsibility in the heavens. But remember that just like you have the good angels,
right, you have
all
the bad.
Of them, I said the principalities, the rulers, and it's the rulers, the principalities, all of these order of angels are good, and then there's another set that follows Satan that are bad. Those are the demon angels.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear rulers, principality, and powers, know that the Bible is talking about a set, different set of angels. So, question, what are rulers, powers, and principalities?
Those
angels.
Angels.
The bad angels are also called the same thing.
One of the saddest things that I heard is that angels are fighting in heaven.
Listen, the bad angels are following
Satan.
They're following Satan, so they're following Satan, but you know that they are. I'm going to send out, I'm going to email you both the order of the angels, the different angels and the order and what they're responsible for.
Oh, okay.
This came
That'd
from Barbara's
great.
Class. I'm going to have to tell Barbara you forgot Hilda.
I know. I don't think she ain't going to get me.
I know. This we got all in from Barbara's class when she talked about all the different that there were.
Yes.
Okay.
And trust me, honey. She definitely gonna get me. She gonna like, you forgot. How many times did I tell you?
And I don't want to get you in trouble.
Okay.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
I'm gonna be prepared for her. She says, I want you to write it down. I'm definitely going to be prepared for her because she going to come at me.
Goodness.
She is definitely going to come at me.
But anyway, guys, you want to pray out, Hilda. Praise God.
Oh, Father God, thank you for this lesson tonight. Thank you for all that was said. Oh, man. Thank you for Colossians chapter 3. Lord God, it is an awesome, awesome chapter. And help us to remember and memorize some of these scriptures that is so important to us and to our lives, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you for our teacher, for a wonderful explanation of the lesson and the scriptures, Lord God. Thank you for all that is here tonight. And we're just so grateful for and humble for all that you do for us, Lord God, and to always to keep us steadfast and strong in your word, Lord God. Always put in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit to read your words, to pray on your words, to tell others about your word, Lord God. Thank you for life again, for strength, for health, wisdom, and for understanding, Lord God. Bless each and every one here tonight. Bless their homes, bless their families, bless their finances, Lord God. Increase their finances, Lord God. And thank you for forgiving us for our sins, for loving on us, for never for forgetting us, Lord God. We may forget to pray. We may forget to thank you, but you are still there with us, guiding us and leading us in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. But most of all, Lord God, we ask that you bring peace to Israel, to Palestine, to Gaza, to all of those that are in authorities. Help them to make the right decisions for the people and for the country, Lord God. And continue to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. And we ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen, amen,
amen. Amen. Yes, thank you. Be blessed,
thank you,
everybody.
Pal, for joining us. And
yes,
thank
you. If I'm free next Wednesday, I'll come back.
Oh, yes. We appreciate it.
That's wonderful. All right, guys. Good night.
Have a wonderful evening. Love you guys, and God bless
you. Love
you,
too. Blessings. Kisses.
Hugs and kisses. Mwah.